T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Pony's got the old Color Rush Polamalu.
Yep.
I've got a very Pittsburgh shirt.
It says Yinz.
YNZ has a little hypocycloid on it. I'm wearing black and gold. What has us, you want to get that game badly, what has us in such a pandering hometown mood?
Couldn't go to the games last year because of a pandemic, so restricted, couldn't do the partying.
Forbidden fruit.
Yep. And the fact that they won the first game. You put those two things together, and it has created an atmosphere where I would like to be a part of it. Now, if I had my druthers, what I would do, if someone is nice enough to invite me, then I'll just mooch, is that I would like to go down for a tailgate and have a couple of beers, throw the football around, eat some free food, and then around 11 leave.
Go back
and
to your
drive
house.
Back home and have the Steelers game, Sunday ticket, red zone, laptop out for fantasy, and my bets. So I still want that, but I would like to soak up.
You want the ambiance.
Yes.
You want all the pomp, your circumstance, things of that nature. You want to have your cake, which is go down there, but you want to eat it too, which is watch all this stuff at your house, which is the best seat in the house. How do you feel the basement in your new place, because we built the same house essentially. How do you feel your basement setup is now?
I haven't used it for an NFL game yet.
So this is going to be a big test run.
Yep. I watched what happened.
How many
was
TVs?
Just one big one right now. What happened was I settled in for the Bills game on the couch upstairs with the intention of going down to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But I just...
Sloth took over.
Got stuck there, yeah.
Oh, I know how that is, my friend. Don't you worry. I'll tell you what, your buddy Nick Wright has the most insane NFL setup I've ever seen.
He puts two games on, and then he puts the red zone on underneath it.
But
he has three screens going at once.
I thought he had four or five. Maybe I'm insane.
He might have laptops.
He has
and
laptops
stuff
and stuff. The problem I have, and Nick, congratulations, Nick, on all your success. You're doing much better than I will ever do in this business.
I think ADD takes over for me in that situation. I can't focus on
it. It absolutely does. Yeah, I'd have to like go in order. But he has it in a room in his house that is like 7 feet wide. My eyes would hurt.
I mean, what do you think? Is there the potential for the two of us to get down there around 8, have a few drinks,
hang out and eat? I got a big problem.
Family man, Lennox.
Alex is
life
working.
Takes over.
Can you imagine
if you took
me
him down
taking
there?
Lennox down to a tailgate, what a hit he would be?
Do you have Steelers garb for him?
Oh, yeah. Well, we got his like Steelers jammies, like the Lark stuff. You hear Arthur brought to you by Lark Adventure Wear. They got the black and gold jammies that I'm going to throw him in.
That would be like a hangover situation, though. Right? Where Galifianakis is walking around with the kid.
Well, the problem, and like hangover would be easier because he had the kid in a front pack.
Yeah, now
Lennox
is
a wild man.
Right, he's a terrible two.
Dude.
He's a toddler that's wreaking havoc.
He knows how to open our back door. We had to put one of these little plastic things called a burglar bar on our back door because he can open it. We're literally just 10 seconds here. We're shoveling dirt all morning.
Yep.
Okay? Suddenly, we see our dogs running around in the backyard. We didn't let them out there. You know who did? The small terrorist that lives in our house. And he just lets them out. They're running wild in the backyard. He's out there. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad.
I think Sunday was going to feel like a party, even if the Steelers had gone to Buffalo and lost, because it's the opportunity for people to see old friends, season ticket holders that haven't been around each other in years. There's this reunion-type feel to this
game. Welcome back, Cotter.
Yes. But I think it's even amplified and even more special because the Steelers did kind of the unthinkable, with some exceptions like Richie Walsh and Craig Riley. They went to Buffalo and they won. They beat one of the best teams in football from a year ago.
Yep.
So now this becomes the question. You have this incredible party. It's going to be raucous both before the game and at kickoff.
Yep.
The question is, do the Las Vegas Raiders play the part, the role, that they have played so many times in the Tomlin Big Ben era, which is party pooper? They have been a thorn in the Steelers' side, but one of those, like, unexpected, no real reason for them to be a team that torments the Steelers. Roethlisberger in his career, Chris, has a losing record against three AFC teams. Do you
Patriots
know who they are?
Patriots are one.
Yep.
Raiders are two.
Okay.
I should have probably said them last, but we kind of know that
so
we're saying
this. So now, can you name the one random one?
Nah, hold on. It's not the Ravens. I know that.
Nope.
Just let me think for it. You know who I'm going to go with here? I think I will. The Tennessee Titans.
Wrong.
Damn it.
Good thing you didn't put the G word in front of that, because we would have had to dump you in the first segment. The Broncos.
Are you counting playoffs there?
Or just regular seasons. He's got a losing record against Denver, New England, and Oakland, / Vegas now.
The Oakland thing really is, now Vegas, yeah. You said it. You know what it reminds me of more than anything? They remind me of the kind of team that Pitt trips and stubs its toe against.
You're right.
But it's like that. Almost every year you look at them on paper and you say, well, the Steelers are just so obviously the better team here. There's no question.
And then it's
a weird confluence of circumstances.
And I don't think that this matchup sets up quite like that, because the Raiders did beat the Ravens and both teams are 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a team at home that you should beat. The line reflects that at 6. Big Ben in his career is 2-5 against the Raiders. Tomlin is 2-4. For Ben, it's the worst win percentage against any AFC team. It's even worse than Belichick and Brady in New England. And it's just a cascade of these wacky moments against this team.
X-ray machines.
Chris, he has lost to them, I said, 5 times.
Yep.
In those years, I'm going to give you the Raiders' record from those seasons, okay? 4-12. 4-12. 4-12, 5-11, 2-14. His 5 losses aren't even to average Raiders teams. They are two disgustingly bad ones. There's a Terrell Pryor 93-yard run. There's Gronkowski to Murphy as a 15-point underdog. There's Ben throwing 2 pick sixes in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the kryptonite for Tomlin and Big Ben has, yes, been the hoodie and Belichick and Brady, but that applies to everybody just about.
You expect
this
it.
This is their own unique level of, like, this is their own unique level of ineptitude. They have the never had a losing season thing. They won a Super Bowl together as coach and quarterback in 08, but this is, in a weird way, Chris, there's a little bit of there's a little bit of a monkey on Tomlin and Ben's back when it comes to the stupid Raiders. As silly as that sounds, everybody's going to have their Crown Apple and their Icy Lights and their bratwursts.
Show up at a tailgate and get somebody to make you some blue sharks.
You know, I mean, there's all of, like, everybody has. Everyone's bringing their own offering to this game and this celebration, and the Raiders show up in these spots and have a tendency to make Steelers fans drive home pissed off and thinking while they're backed up in traffic, what the hell did I just watch for the last 3 hours?
That's
Steelers Raiders under Tomlin.
We'll go with only under Tomlin here. The one thing you can say is, at home, it has been, I'm not even going to say more successful, because it should be really successful. They have a 35-3 beatdown at home that they put on them. They have that 38-35 game from 2015, that thriller at home. They've only lost the one at home. This usually happens on the road, but it shouldn't happen at all.
Ben got injured in that game, and Landry Jones had to come to the rescue, remember?
I know. What is just bizarre about them is that it's not just that the Raiders have been bad for some of these games, and you said the records. It's like when you know how you pick games, you bet on games, we both do. But like you've been doing it for a long time. There are times when
I love how like that is your like nice way of saying, Andrew, you've had a debilitating disease.
Yes. You are
and
a degenerate.
An addiction for a long time. So allow me to appeal to you with the point that I'm about to make.
Let me talk to you about as a veteran of losing bets. They have brought teams in though, like that prior game comes to mind, where it's not just that you know that the Steelers are better than them on paper, it's that it's comical, right?
Yep.
Like, there's games on the schedule this week where you go, there's absolutely no way such and such team can win. Maybe they can cover.
The Texans going to Cleveland.
Or Detroit against Green Bay, even with Green Bay looking so bad.
Yep.
And you're just like, well, that can't happen. And then it does.
That was the matchup of Steelers-Raiders in some of these Pittsburgh losses.
The Terrell Pryor game is probably the one that sticks out even more than the X-ray fiasco.
Even more than Bruce?
Bruce, to me, is like, in all of these situations, he was a legitimate player in the NFL.
Yeah,
who
but
actually,
Chris, they were the defending Super Bowl champions, and the line in the game
Bruce started
was
for
like
John
a college football game, Bruce, a 15-point spread.
Bruce started for John Gruden as a rookie. Was it planned? No, but he did. It's not like Nathan. You know what would happen? Nathan Peterman comes in here and throws 6 tutters against them. That would be what happens. But this is, I don't feel better about it because here's the thing.
Hey, Peterman.
Thank you. I don't feel better about this game, like, because I think other people could take it a different way and say, well, hey, the Raiders beat the Ravens. They at least have a guy who's in there and can make some plays in Carr.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, I think Steelers fans will feel better about that. Oh, well, you know, the better they are, the better the Steelers will play. Carr makes me real. Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, computer just falling down in here. Carr makes me nervous, man. He's the kind of guy that I think your read on him yesterday was actually pretty accurate. I don't want to call a player soft, but I think he gets rattled by getting hit frequently. Maybe it's like PTSD from watching his brother basically get pummeled in Houston as a rookie. But I think Carr, if he is protected even a little bit, strikes me as the kind of guy that can hurt them. Almost in a way more than Josh Allen could. Because like last year when the Steelers lost to the Bills, did Josh Allen have a crazy good game? No. He looked still like a guy who was a little confused. Carr and Gruden as a combo or a duo that I say, if they pick up blitzes, Gruden's going to have stuff dialed up to beat the Steelers. He's going to have, defense beaters out there. And Carr is the kind of guy, if he can step into a throw, who will make throws to beat your defense.
Can I give
you... He just did it against probably on paper, a better secondary,
but can
right?
Can I give you a golf analogy with Carr, what he reminds me of? And I'm not... My golf knowledge and ability is nowhere close to yours, but here's my read on him. Hopefully people get this. Carr reminds me of a golfer that can't drive the ball 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He hits it more like 180 or 200 off the tee, and he hits it pretty straight, but the problem is, because he's not a big hitter, he's got very little room for error. And what I mean by that is, if his deal coming in here is, I'm going to take what the defense gives me and check the ball down and take my 4 or 5 yards on every play, cool. But you've got to do that every time. If you're going to go 75 yards, you need to be pretty much perfect when there's not big plays in there or relying on just the defense to screw up. And this defense didn't screw up last week. You know, if you're playing the Jets and they've got an all-out blitz at the end of the game and you throw up a Hail Mary, the Raiders can win games like that. But it's just hard for me to imagine. There's no Bryson DeChambeau in his game.
I think you're short shrifting him a little bit. He's not a guy who has to get up and down for pars on par fours because he can't hit the ball far enough. Like, to me,
he's generally timid and scared to throw the ball downfield.
I don't know, man. When he had to get a field goal drive together very quickly to send that game to overtime, he looked like a guy cutting it loose in tight areas of the field.
Yeah, because he had to, though, because
but
the urgency was there.
Were the throws on target or not?
They were, but the problem is, it's... Well, I mean...
Guys can change.
Yeah, but that's not... His MO is just check the ball down, make the easy play, don't do anything too ballsy,
Here's one of the reasons you feel that way about him.
Don't throw an interception.
Here's one of the reasons you feel that way about him. Now, he's had... majority of his seasons have not been good.
I like Carr. I think if Carr were on this team...
Could have fooled me.
But I think if Carr were on this team with this defense... They would win a lot of games.
He's the better quarterback in the game. Do you agree with that?
Because he knows his role, and he's generally pretty good about not screwing it up. Now, if you've got 68,000 people screaming, and this defense can apply pressure with 4 against a bad defensive line, and he doesn't have a run game to fall back on, well, then he's screwed. Because I think, like, when he fits into a greater team concept, and you've got all, you know, every phase of the game is at least average to great, he can win. Like that year that they were going to go to the playoffs, and
that's the thing. That's the year I think that debunks some of what you're saying. They didn't have some great defense. They
and
actually
Khalil Mack though.
They're 20th in points allowed. They weren't good. They were 26th in yards allowed. People move the ball on them. He was the reason they were good that year, and he never got, because he got injured and Matt McGloin had to come in. He never got a chance to pay off by far his best season.
I think it was with an actual. I think it was Cook, the Michigan State quarterback. But continue.
Wait, which year was a McGloin year for them? I think didn't Cook get hurt too, and then McGloin had to come in?
I think McGloin was there before Carr.
I just like it in my mind that it's McGloin. Either way, Connor Cook is basically Michigan State's McGloin. Anyway, he didn't get to pay off his best season by actually putting them in, through a playoff run.
Yeah,
I think the narrative is potentially very different about
him. We'll
see. If that year doesn't have an injury for him, and he wins one or two games in the playoffs.
I think he's good. I just don't think he's great.
I mean, it's telling to me that you kind of slagged him a little bit here, but when I quickly said, who's the better quarterback in this game,
him.
You picked him.
Yeah, I think it's him.
So what does that say about Roethlisberger? I mean, just to divert to that for a second. We're saying we've got a timid guy who needs to fit into a system. Well, the other guy's a Hall of Famer in waiting.
Well, I know he is, but that's the Hall of Fame years are behind him. He's an average quarterback now that thankfully has a defense that might allow for him to not have to be Superman to win games. My concern, look, I think the Steelers, we'll pick the game later. I want the Steelers to win, not just because we're broadcasting in Pittsburgh right now and our station is called The Fan and I live here and I've been here for 11 years. I want it to be a perfect day. I want it to be... People are so giddy that there's a home game and they can go and people get back into their, not just actually going to the game, but go back to the routine of going to bars, going to places, getting together with friends to watch the game, that I want it to have a happy ending. But what is also on my mind is that the same exact thing happened. The Bills fans were talking about that game against the Steelers the same way I'm talking about this game now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, we weren't allowed to go to the games last year. We got all the way to the AFC Championship game. We've got a team that can win the Super Bowl. 80,000 of your closest friends at their stadium. Tailgates galore. Butt chugs. Sex toys. The whole nine yards. And they came out kind of, maybe not flat as a pancake. They took the kickoff back almost for a touchdown. But, you know, they just didn't live up to it. They didn't hold up their end of the deal. They didn't play well enough. So, I'm nervous too because of
who the
opponent
is. You're worried about a letdown.
Yeah, because of who the opponent is. Because the Raiders just have a history of being the foil in situations like this, the type of team that pull, and they have the Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown roll down pad.
Well, I don't think there's like a fear of the Steelers team wide there. I mean, they've had success. I don't think that Derek Carr, even if he doesn't want to get hit necessarily and he's a check down guy too often, I don't think Derek Carr is going to come into this game like some scared rookie quarterback. He and Gruden are going to come in there and say, if we get looks that we like, we're going to beat those looks. And this is the other thing. Like, we could talk about the quarterbacks all we want. They've got a dude on that team who's a problem no matter what your defense is.
Waller.
I mean, he is a capital D dude.
Yeah, but Stephon Diggs, I would have said that about too. And I did going into that Bills game. And they made sure that he didn't beat them. He had his fair share of catches. But
don't you think it's different with
game.
A tight end, though, physically, a guy who's 6'6"? Diggs is probably one of the three best, if not two best, or best wide receivers in the game. When the guy's 6'6 and basically a wide receiver plus, I think it's different.
They're intimidating from a physical standpoint, but...
There's not a natural matchup. You can stick Joe Hayden or
Sutton
or somebody.
Yeah, but look at Antonio Brown. He wasn't a big guy, and he would scare the crap out of opposing teams.
Generationally, I mean, Waller might be the same thing here, but he's 6'6".
Hey,
there's no physical matchup.
Say what you will. Diggs had an Antonio Brown-esque year last year.
I know.
He put up AB-type numbers. They slowed him down.
Darren Waller's 6'6". Devin Bush or Joe Schobert could have perfect coverage on him.
Well, they can't do that. They can't.
Minka Fitzpatrick could be bodied up on him, and he's still 5 inches taller.
They can't go the Devin Bush, this is why we drafted you
route. Well, I guess you're saying it right there to me.
It's going to be Mouse in the house.
You're saying it right there.
It's going to be Schwarzenegger against DeVito if they put. Right? I mean, look at
Mouse in the house?
You never heard that? Mouse in the house?
No.
Wait a minute. You played basketball for all these years.
Yeah.
You never had a coach that told you when you had a switch and a big guy was on a little guy that for that person to call for the ball and yell mouse in the house?
No.
Seriously?
Never.
See, I thought that was something that was ubiquitous in basketball.
No. The tallest kid on my high school team was like 6'2 and a half. We were run and gun. We were chucking, man.
I went up against a guy that went straight from high school to the NBA,
Andre
and I got
Blatch.
Matched up with him a couple of times, and he did not scream mouse in the house. He said, throw me the ball. This B can't check me.
And you couldn't.
I could not. And he did not block a shot of mine. He caught the ball in the air and started a fast break
the other way. That is a tough one. There's a certain level of big brother, little brother disrespect there that can't quite be quantified.
I got the ball.
Did you think you were going up with a power move that was going to fool him?
No.
He was a 7-footer.
No, I caught the ball on the baseline for a mid-range jumper.
And he just went up and grabbed
it? And I'm like, he can't close out in.
Yeah, he did.
And not only did he close out, he
literally grabbed the ball.
He might have taken it coast to coast and dunked on the other end.
How many points did you lose to his team by? Had to be a lot.
It was at least 20. It was probably closer to 30.
How do you even deal with a guy like that, though?
You couldn't. You honestly couldn't. Like, they took us so lightly, though, even though it was a playoff game, where they let other guys shoot the ball.
Do fun stuff.
Yeah, which if they just gave it to him every possession, we would have lost by 100. Because he would have scored every time.
So basically, they were playing a game on rookie mode.
Yep. That's pretty much what it was.
At least you didn't have a guy who ended up only playing at Boston University throw one off the backboard while you were trying to chase him down and then tomahawk it.
There were guys that never played past high school basketball that probably did that to me, but they're not as memorable as some dude who played in the league. All right, text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It is the first tailgate in Pittsburgh. Right now, we're starting it up. Me, Muller, Steiny, Moats is going to join at 4. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, at 3. Charles Davis, who's going to call the game on Channel 2 with Ian Eagle at 5. In a live report from practice in the 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.